report saying the nearly 2 million jobs created last year were more than in any year since 2005.
The economy is moving in the right direction. We're creating jobs on a consistent basis. We're not going to let up. Not until everybody who wants to find a good job can find one.
He said the payroll tax cut was partly responsible for the improving economy, and he urged Congress to do its job and extend the tax break for all of this year. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
A thank you is not forthcoming, but the U.S. Navy did successfully rescue an Iranian fishing boat under control of Somali pirates.
The State Department calls the rescue a humanitarian gesture, and in an interview with Bob Schieffer for CBS's Face the Nation, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says it's all part of the Navy's job.
It's what we do, and it's what we do in that part of the world. We get a distress call, as we did in this case, even though it came from an Iranian ship. The pirates went after them. We respond to those calls.
There has been no direct contact with the Iranian government about the incident, and Panetta says no thank you call either. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, the State Department.
Rape. What exactly constitutes it?
Many analysts say it's a change that's long overdue. The Obama administration is making changes that will affect the number of reported rape cases by expanding the definition of rape for the first time, including male victims. Since 1929, the FBI has defined rape as the carnal knowledge of a female forcibly and against her will. The new definition is gender neutral and includes instances in which the victim can't give consent because of drugs, alcohol, or age. The analysts say this is important because officials use crime statistics to allocate resources for prevention and victim assistance. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
It's been called a tepid response to some pretty good jobs news. On Wall Street, the Dow right now down 40 points, NASDAQ up 9. This is CBS News.
Make saving more at Rite Aid your best resolution yet. Now through January 28th, you can earn a $20 plus up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Start the year off with better savings at Rite Aid. Resolution Rewards is another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase when qualifying threshold is met. Plus up expires February 11th, 2012.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
And only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to say it. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
22 new cardinals today, one of them the Archbishop of New York.
Archbishop Dolan said his being named cardinal is not so much about him as it is an honor for the New York Archdiocese.
It's almost as if Pope Benedict XVI is putting the red hat of the cardinal on top of the Empire State Building.
Of speculation on a recent 60 Minutes broadcast that he could be the first American elected pope.
Somewhere in this cathedral, there's an altar to St. Jude, the patron saint of impossible causes. So if anybody that thinks that, you better start lighting candles there.
Dolan also laughed, saying when he called his mother in St. Louis with the news, she said, "It's about time." Rich Lamb, CBS News, New York.
Also elevated to the Red Hat Club, the former Archbishop of Baltimore. Police in Salt Lake City say a woman put on a mustache so her neighbors would not recognize her when she broke into their home. The woman's neighbors noticed thousands of dollars missing, so they set up a trap with a security camera, and there she was. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and ready for life. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Male Vitality Plus. It's the natural supplement clinically proven to increase strength and stamina. Plus, gives you more energy and vitality. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again. And yes, you can feel like the man you used to be. Right now, you can try Male Vitality Plus risk-free. That's a free bottle with nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who noticed changes in your body, your mood, your life, it's time to get back to healthy, normal testosterone levels and keep them there. Call now for a risk-free trial of Male Vitality Plus. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-428-1685. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait another day. Call 1-800-428-1685. Again, 1-800-428-1685.
Well, we haven't communicated the past few days, but I believe Karen Vealey is going to be in here from CalCoastNews.com to talk about what's happened this week.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
I could be right. I could be wrong. I have no idea. Hey, it's going to be cold today. It's going to be 67 degrees. We're not having any of that kind of weather here this year. We don't want 67 stuff. We like to be in the 70s. It's really tempered and nice and warm and pleasant. You know, there was an interesting thing in the Tribune today right here. Let me share this with you. This was from from the Chicago Tribune. Rethinking resolutions make 2012 the year to be kinder to yourself. I did that this year. My New Year's resolution was to either lose or gain 2 pounds.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, 6 kinds, maybe 1 of 4 burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of size from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You know, Dad, I just keep thinking about how little rainfall we've gotten this season, and I know we're right on the edge of drought conditions.
You're right, Kelly. That's why at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we emphasize the importance of water conservation by featuring environmentally friendly products.
The store has an unbelievable selection of showerheads that offer everything from needle jet sprays to soft, soothing raindrops. And let me guess, the shower heads can reduce water usage.
You got it.
So that's why we're letting people know that the store is the low-flow toilet specialist in Slo County.
Yep, our low-flow toilets can save folks 25% on their water bill. But that's just part of the story, Kelly.
Are you going to tell them the other part of the story about when you got stuck under the kitchen sink trying to install a low-flow faucet?
Kelly.
Dad.
Kelly.
Dad.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures, shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, right there. There's the short street. You got short, you got semi-short, whatever the name of the streets are there, and they're right there. And you'll get the good stuff there. All right, you're with Bill. Talk to you. God, it's not here. All right, let me tell you what happened. Who watches this day in history? This is what's happened. On this day in history. Our highlight in history on January 6th, 1912, New Mexico became the 47th state. Woohoo! On this date in 1412, tradition holds that the Joan of Arc was born this day. In 1838, Samuel Morse and Alfred Vail gave the first successful public demonstration of their telegraph in Morristown, New Jersey. In 1942, the Pan American Airways Pacific Clipper, a flying boat built by Boeing, arrived in New York more than a month after leaving California and following a westward route. Didn't seem like a logical direction to go. Okay. In 1950, Britain recognized the communist government of China. In 1982, truck driver William G. Bonin was convicted in Los Angeles of 10 of the freeway killer slayings of young men and boys. In 1994, figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed by on the leg by an assailant. Can I start that over? I don't know why I was having trouble. Take two. In 1994, figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on the leg by an assailant at Detroit's Cobo Arena. 4 men, including the ex-husband of Kerrigan's rival, Tonya Harding, went to prison for their roles in the attack. Yes, it was Tonya Harding. Pollster Lewis Harris is 91 today. These are birthdays. Actress Bonnie Franklin is 68. Rock musician Malcolm Young from AC/DC is 59. And TV chef Nigella Lawson is 52. Happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. people in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Well, my day is in shambles right now. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm not going to have Jim D today. I do know why. It's okay. It's you and me. Hey, we did this all week. We did a good job. Oh, wait. I see the door opening up. I sense that perhaps I was wrong. I'm sure I was wrong. And I'm glad about that, too. We're here. Wait a minute. We got Tim Weisberg's street party going on here, and so we're not partying. We're doing serious news right now. That's what's going on right here. And Karen Vealy is in from CalcoastNews.com. She was working on a story, and so you know she and I can't begrudge the fact of I pointed at my watch and said, you know, you couldn't do radio because you have to be here. But she's working on one of her hot stories.
I had a very hot tip, and I will be coming out with it probably early next week. And there are some extraordinary things happening in the city of Slow.
As always.
This is a reporter's dream town.
This has become such. You know, it really has. It used to be just the sleepy little burg, you know. We had trouble putting together a newscast on the old days of KBC, you know, when I had my news director, and we'd be pulling our hair out trying to find some news. Sometimes I had to go out and create it. It was really quite embarrassing.
I can see you with a gun, robbing a bank. That's right. We need a news story.
This is why the gun's pointed backwards. All right, Karen. Let's see. I'm going to let you pick where you want to start today.
Well, let's start. Let's just start really quickly with the bank robbery.
Oh, okay.
There was a man that did bank robberies in our area. He was an Arroyo Grande man. He was lost his home or his residence in November 2008 and went on a bank robbing spree and robbed 7 banks. He did plead guilty. They agreed on a plea agreement where he'd only plead guilty to 3 of the banks because it's 20 years per bank robbery. But I was able to get hold of the plea agreement, which details every robbery, so you actually get to see how much money this poor guy was getting. And I'm sorry, when you've got the Walmart bandit walking out with 3 or 4,000 and the bank robber is getting 800 to 3,000, I think Walmart...
and that's the return area of Walmart.
The return
part.
But the interesting thing is, when you rob a bank, you get 20 years. But in this case, they usually keep pretty confidential the amount robbed, the amount stolen. But in this case, we list down all the different amounts. He robbed a Pismo Beach Bank. He robbed a bank in Paso Robles. He robbed a bank in Santa Barbara. And you know, and you can see as you read this how he was learning. He'd walk in and say, "Give me the top drawer," or "Give me the bottom drawer." And then suddenly it's like, "Give me both drawers." And his take was going up.
Well, and that's interesting too, because here, you know, when you're a single bank robber, you know, you're basically going to be at one teller window robbing one teller window.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like when you see these things in the movies, like, you know, Batman and all that stuff, where the Joker goes in and gets bazillions of dollars, because it's a coordinated effort. So it's interesting that, you know, that they don't get that. You know, there's only so much money that's going to be at a single teller window.
And the other thing that I noticed with this one is that he was robbing before noon. he would rob between 10 and 12 in the morning. Where most really good serial robbers rob right before closing when there's the most money in the drawer, but not this guy. He was a morning robber.
He didn't know. He wasn't a good robber. He didn't. Robbery was a part-time job for him. So.
But it's interesting, I think, that we had an Arroyo Grande man that was a serial robber. He will be sentenced, I think, next month.
Well, and then we still have what's the guy's name? The old age bandit out there. What's it called?
The geezer bandit.
The geezer bandit, which they decide isn't a geezer after all. But anyway, but he's.
They
still,
said he ran too fast to be.
Yeah, he's on the lam still, but he's. Nobody ever just gets away with all these, and then you never hear from them again. They always have to try one more, and that's the one they shouldn't have done.
If anyone's interested in actually looking at bank robberies, they are really on the upswing. There's a website called L.A. Bank Robbers or L.A. Robbers. I think it's L.A. Bank Robbers. And it's just a fabulous site that has a description of every robbery that's occurred for probably 8 years and pictures of the bandits.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's somewhere you go because every once in a while you'll see a bank robbery. And I'll go there to see if their faces match. I'll say, I wonder if this guy maybe did a robbery somewhere else.
I always go to see if it's a relative. You know, make sure I can pare down my Christmas card list.
Another story we did about robberies was the Walmart robber. And an interesting thing there is I called the police, and there was an almost identical robbery in Gilroy with a man that looked very similar a week before the robbery here, and neither police department had put it together that it had happened in the other area, which a quick Walmart Google brought up immediately.
How weird.
So it was kind of interesting. I called them there, and they were surprised, and I called here, and they said, I said, could it be the same guy? He said, I'm not sure, and I said, well, I'll send you a photo, and they are looking into it, and they do think it may be the same robber.
You know, you have enough trouble just getting all the stuff you got to do as a reporter, and now you're working for the police department. So it's like, yeah, can you send a picture? Do they have computers in Salinas? And Gilroy up in that area, they have them? Okay. All right, let's talk about what's going on here. Another thing, well, let me talk about this before we go into other huge stories, but this is because I have to speak of my fellow broadcast brethren there at KCOY, and so they booted 13 of them, of the people working there, and including the Jim Byrne, the weather guy.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, and I won't try to jump to a conclusion of any kind. It's interesting. Tony Coppola was the last one. You know, the old thing about last hired, first fired. That's not what happened in this case. So I'm not quite sure how that worked out. But anyway, but it's the usual, you know, weirdness. So now they're going to have evening news is going to come from Salinas?
The evening news, and they're absolutely getting rid of local sports completely. And
it was a big deal on KCOY.
Oh, I used to, because I'm a reporter, I check all the other news sites probably 3-4 times a day. I check KCOY, I check KSBY, I check the Tribune. It's just what I want. I keep my eye on what's going on. And I would say a year and a half ago, KSBY was substantially better, I thought, than KCOY. Over the last 8 to 10 months, KCOY has been breaking more stories. I've been getting, you know, great information from KCOY, and I thought they were just doing a bang-up job. I thought they were doing better than they ever have, and I've been told their ratings were up from what they used to be, and they were much more, they were doing much better. I find it surprising when someone's on their game that this happens.
Well, and you know what's interesting? When KSBY sold to Murdoch, Murdoch's daughter, when KSBY sold to Murdoch's daughter, they were doing very well when that sold, and it was like, say what? And they did a big full house cleaning, you know, of all kinds of people behind the scenes and whatnot, and on-air people. And so then but here's what's interesting. You might say, but they obviously were more successful because they sold it for more than they paid for it. That's not necessarily so. Everything had inflated as far as, this was the real estate bubble days anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you couldn't not sell it for more than you pay for it, no matter what you did to it. So that was not, to me, a reasonable argument to say, well, they must have done something right. I don't think so, because when the new people then took over, they went back and rehired as many people as they could rehire that had been there before. So just very strange. But that's broadcasting. You know, it's a very. I need to go become an independent news person and have a new calcoastnews.com.
And that is a high. I put up the story yesterday morning. I had received information the night before, and I thought I'll just put something up in the morning. I'll give, you know, KSBY or KCOY management a chance to respond, which I tried for about 2 hours and gave it up and just put the story out. But interesting enough, I didn't think it was going to be as big an issue as it was. And the amount of people looking at that story, thousands and thousands were looking right away. I mean, it was just getting clicked on. It is to the public, that was a big issue.
It's a big issue because, you know, and one of the problems is this, of course, in this area. You have three TV stations. That's all you have. And, you know, everybody's trying to run as skinny as they can within reason, you know, these days, because that's just the way life is. And so here you have, 13 people out of a job, and you know that they're not going to find chances are they're not going to find a job here. And maybe one of these specialty people could possibly, you know, a photographer or something could possibly pick up a job at either KEYT in Santa Barbara or KSBY. But, you know, most of these people are now have to leave the area. And I think that's what really bothered people about this is the fact that, you know, they had been here a long time. They wanted to be here. And like everybody else that wants to be here, not everybody, because we could talk about the city manager and she's doing good. But in broadcasting, you know, you stay here because you want to stay here. I mean, you're going to sacrifice a great deal like many other professions that stay here. You know, but broadcasting is really in the forefront of screwing people when it comes to pay on the Central Coast. So it's really a shame. And so now you say, okay, well, these people, you know, they wanted to be here. They wanted to stay here. A lot of people have kids and whatnot. They're putting them to school here, and now they got to go find some place to work, and it's really a shame.
And I think they also, especially the local sports, I am shocked that they would cut that. I would think that there are, you know, that's a big draw.
Oh, yes.
I don't have sports on my site. It's something in the future I do want to have, and I want to have local sports. People can get national sports anywhere, but I have been told locally what's read mostly. Sports is one of the number one things people want to see when they read their paper.
Yeah, the prep sports in this area is huge. So I don't know what they're thinking. Who knows? I don't know what they're thinking. You don't ever know what they're thinking, to tell you the truth. They never come out and say, well, here's what we were thinking about. When Clear Channel came and bought all the stations that they bought, you know, and they fired me, anybody that had been around for the longest, they just let go.
I was talking to someone yesterday, about an hour ago, a business owner here, and I'm not going to name because I didn't, you know, tell him I was going to be talking about what he was saying. But he had told me that he had an interview yesterday with KCOY regarding something his business was doing. They were supposed to be there, I think, at 3 o'clock. The reporter showed up at 4:30 and said, I was told I had to wait to find out if everybody had to go in to see if they had a job or not. I still have my job. So it showed up an hour and a half late for this interview. And he goes, where's the cameraman? Oh, he lost his job. Jeez. How can TV not send a cameraman?
I don't know.
I was absolutely stunned.
Let us sum it up with this. This is I don't know if you know this, but there's bicycle racks around town that have plaques. And,
yeah.
And I have one by the library that I got. And it says, to all the broadcasters of San Luis Obispo County who have always done so much for so little.
Very nice.
I think I said the Central Coast. But that's good because that's just how it's always been. It's just been kind of weird. All right, so I feel very, very bad for these people. I really do. Having been fired quite a few times myself. Let's say let go, I guess, is the term they use. Right. I hadn't done something wrong. I was just let go. All right, let's talk about another story. We got big things. I'm going to ask you this. That's going to take too long. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about something like that. We've got big stories that are going on and big stories that are yet to come, and we need to talk about those.
Knight's Carpets and Interiors would like to wish you and your family a safe and happy new year. Everyone has New Year's resolutions, and we here at Knight's would like to share ours with you. We are committed to making your 2012 interior project successful and worry-free. We are committed to providing excellent service and top-quality installation. We invite you to go to knightscarpets.com for your savings coupon. Happy New Year!
California Wireless in Templeton now offers MetroPCS. What is MetroPCS? It's affordable wireless service for everyone. Only $40 a month with unlimited calling, texting, and web. Yes, unlimited everything. Wireless bills too high? Stop by California Wireless in Templeton and get MetroPCS for the whole family. Four lines with unlimited everything for only $100 per month. Stop by Randy Doty's California Wireless across from the market on Main Street and have one heck of a happy new year.
MetroPCS.
Emmer, and you're listening to a song I wrote for my upcoming country western CD, Happy Trails, Roy and Dale. Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys, 100th birthday. My weekly KNS Radio 1340 AM gas show premieres featuring interviews with Roy and Dale, Kenny Rogers, Burt Reynolds, Willie Nelson, John Ritter, and Randy Travis.
Press has been really good to me down through the years. We've had a few bad ones that I didn't particularly like. We had one, and to this day, if I ever run across him, I want to poke him right in the nose. He said the only reason that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans were adopting children was for publicity. I could pinch his head off, I tell you.
Saturday at 1 p.m., repeated Sunday at 3 p.m., sponsored by Dana Nelson's Health Plus Pharmacy of St. Louis and Colby Jack Cafe and Bakery in Atascadero's Carlton Hotel.
But I know that you'll remember when you were saddlebound to Hoppy Gene and me.
We're back. Actually, sometimes that music runs a little bit long because certain calls of nature have to be answered. And we answer calls. Also, if you want to call in, you can call in. And our number is 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. Back with Karen Vealey from CalCoastNews.com. I thought what we'd do is head this direction so I can ask some other questions about what's going on. But this is the story about Terry Pippin, who was an appraiser for Kelly Gearhart. And apparently he really liked the properties that Kelly Gearhart was interested in to the tune of quite a few million dollars that are quite hard to understand.
What happened was, for those that don't know the whole story of Kelly Gearhart, there's been a four-year federal investigation into a money, a property scheme, Ponzi scheme, that included many people. And what they would do is they would get people to invest through hard money loans. All hard money means is it's based on the value of the underlying asset rather than the value the person's credit. And they utilized the Questa title at the time, which then was Stewart title for part of it. People there were doing illegal title actions for them. They had the appraisal doing wild appraisals. And I actually, CalCoast News first broke this in 2008. It was our investigation. And at the time, numerous people said we were wrong, that Pippin did nothing wrong, that these guys were all professionals, and how dare us do this. In fact, there were a couple of editorials in the Tribune saying that, you know, who do these people think they are? They're going to end up getting sued. I'd only been doing Cal Coast News probably 3 months at the time, but what they don't realize is I'd been working on that story for probably 2 years before that. So the interesting thing was, I knew Pippin had overpraised things. I didn't know how bad it was going to get. And when I wrote my story in 08, I called the Office of Appraisers, the state office, and I asked them a couple questions, and they said, well, that can't happen. You know, I said, you know, Pippin's appraised this thing for $100 million, and the bank's appraised it for $20 million. Who's right? And they said, there's no way that could have happened. And I said, well, I can shoot you the appraisals. And they said, please do, because we're going to do our own investigation.
This was back in 08.
I know. People are slow. Government's slow. You have no idea.
I know.
They finally finished it, and they finished the investigation about 8 months ago, and then they sent their investigation to Attorney General Camilla Harris. And she ordered him to give up his license and also to pay a fine. But now they don't take criminal action. Then if there's going to be criminal action, it'll go somewhere else. But the interesting thing was, I knew Pippin did some things for Kelly Gearhart. There was $170 million in loans out, ripped off from mostly seniors in our communities that had lent money to this, and they didn't get their money back. And, for example, one property was called the Salinas River Estates, and it was in Templeton, and they got people to put multi-millions of dollars, probably about $10 million into, I don't have the papers in front of me, and this big housing development. Well, the thing, not 10, probably about $5 million, but the interesting thing was, it was undevelopable. They had houses being built in the Salinas Riverbed. Most of the rest of the project was in a flood zone. There was no way this was ever going to be developed. Terry Pippin did the appraisal and, you know, just put false things in. He left out the fact that it was a riverbed and was undevelopable. He said it would be worth this much when it was done. He claimed there were entitlements. There was another property, and this one's interesting. Kelly bought it for $2.5 million. It's called Vista del Hombre in Paso Robles. 2.5, he put up two aluminum shells, two of those aluminum shell buildings, and then got Terry to come in, and Terry claimed at that point it was worth, I think, $27 million, and when Kelly finished it, it was going to be worth $100 million. And then Kelly went ahead and got $30 million in loans on it, and when it was all said and done, they did an appraisal of it was worth $4.5 million, according to a real appraisal. But the other thing is, it wasn't developable anyway. A lot of it wasn't. You'd have to cut through two holes in a golf course to get to it.
Let me ask you a question. Here's what I don't understand, though, is why I can understand investigations take a long time, and the federales do everything, but it takes forever. But the thing that's weird to me is that it would seem to me he was a private appraiser, correct?
He was a licensed, and it's the rules and laws on appraisers in California are massively strict.
I have a brother who's an appraiser down in Huntington Beach.
It's work. Yeah, I mean, they don't just go out they have very strict laws they have to abide by.
But here's what's weird. Even with that, you would think at some point that somebody, a bank, would say, you know, we want to check this. Now, we want to, and obviously Heritage Oaks finally did with one of this Vista del Hombre thing, but it would seem to me that before that got to there, that a bank would say, we're going to send our own appraiser to take a look at this.
Well, see, they don't even have basically their own appraiser. The Heritage Oaks Bank thing didn't really happen that way. What had happened was Kelly Gearhart had $30 million in loans from Hearst Financial. He then had Quessa Title falsely say the property, they had paid off those $30 million in loans and cleaned the title. It was a falsity. Then he went to Heritage Oaks Bank, where I think he ended up getting around $1.5 or $2 million, and he went and put a loan in. Heritage Oaks Bank, the guy that was doing the loan for Kelly at Heritage Oaks Bank was a buddy that he remodeled his house. Kelly doesn't do remodeling. So Kelly remodels his house. He signs off on the loan. The bank is legally, by law, they're a federally insured bank. They're required to do an appraisal. Here's a caveat on that. It doesn't matter when. They did the appraisal. They ordered the appraisal about 2 weeks after they'd already given Kelly the cash. Someone from the bank got me the appraisal and stuck it to me. It basically says this was done fraudulently. You should never gave him the money. He's never going to finish this. And that was $1 million without knowing there was already $30 million on this property. You know, it was $1.5 million or $2 million. But it was amazing. That's who they hired, a private investor. They hired what's his name? Howard Green or something like that. G-R-E-E-N-E. And he's a very good appraiser. Most appraisers, I think, are honest. But I read about these cases throughout the country, and in a lot of these, the appraisers end up going to jail for a long time.
Oh, no, it's like the bank robbery thing. You know, you can do it, you know, you can do it a few times, I suppose, even a couple times, maybe get away with it. But if you keep doing it, somewhere the door's going to slam in your face, it would seem to me, like any other thing. Most anything people do that's dishonest that they continuously do, usually, guess what, at some point. It's like people that embezzle money. You know, that's the one that amazes me totally. They don't think that somebody's going to notice at some point that there's not enough money in the account.
You know, but here's the other issue with that. When people embezzle money, especially from government agencies, time and time again, they try to hide it. There is someone that works for one of our higher education colleges or university here, I'm going to break it later, who was caught embezzling quite a bit of money. After they transferred, no one said a word. They decided, we don't want anybody to know, though it's in minutes from a meeting. We don't want anybody to know. We'll tell them they have to pay it back. And this was a very well-known person. Time and time again, whether it's private business or government, I see them trying to hide embezzlement. And it's just bizarre to me. But you know, I know of two or three here in the area that have, for example, the Pismo Chamber of Commerce, the head of the Chamber of Commerce. She was caught embezzling money, and they had not planned on doing anything. And Cal Coast News wrote a story last October, and she was arrested about 4 months after my story came out. But before that, they weren't planning on taking action against her.
What is happening, if you can update us a little bit, where do things stand with Kelly Gearhart?
Okay. There is the federal investigation is ongoing. With federal government, they usually do all their arrests the same day. You know, and they may have to do some chasing around, but they don't go out and pick up Kelly in 2008 and then Jay Miller in 2009. They like to do it all at once. Now, they went after Jay Miller with a plea agreement to talk about others, and I was able to get some information about this. Jay Miller then tried to renege on his plea agreement, so they made an information offering him 80 years. The next morning he agreed, I want to make an agreement. He was supposed to be sentenced next month. They just extended his sentencing till June, which tells me maybe nothing's going to come down till June. I don't know why they extended his sentencing to June. But the fact that the Pippin investigation was just finished by the state. They're probably, and I have no information on this, but I would gather they're working together, and they're wanting to get all their ducks in a row. Let's get everything we need on Questa Title. Let's get everything we need on Pippin. But now at the same time, these guys are paying off. Questa Title is paying some of the investors for fraudulent acts by Questa Title, or it was bought by Stewart Title. The Pippin's attorneys were in court 3 days ago or 2 days ago, saying, you know, his insurance is down to $200,000 left. There are lawsuits going after the banks. Heritage Oaks Bank, I think, has lawsuits. Pippin has lawsuits. Questa Title has lawsuits. So a lot of the civil stuff is going on now. But there is so much information on this. And there are so many people involved. I think that's what's taking so long.
Right, okay.
Think about it. Sense. Most of them take about 4 years. The real big ones?
That is a big one. All right. Let's go to, let me show you what else we want to do today. Let's see what we're going to talk about. Because we've got some of you've been busy this last week. You've been rocking the sock in here. You have this, this was an interesting thing in Santa Barbara with the drug dealing going on by the doctor. And so, this was interesting too, is that it had to do with money and it had to do with sex.
Yeah, and you know what's odd about this one? I have a friend of mine that works at California Men's Colony. He had told me, probably a year and a half ago, a long time ago, he had told me that he has a daughter that has some drug problems. And, drives up here and works during the week and has a home in Santa Barbara. And had mentioned to me that, you know, daughter has drug problems. The family's, you know, the wife's a physician in Santa Barbara. We know there's a doctor here that's been giving a lot of the painkillers. Our daughter, she was in and out of rehab, in and out of different things. But he told me he reported the guy, and that a number of medical people in the area had reported him. And, again, this is a year and a half ago.
Right.
But, again, wheels of justice do move very, very slow. But he had told me that that he had, I can't remember if it was his daughter or one of his daughter's friends, said that they had actually slept with this man in order to get drugs one time, that anybody could go over there and offer sex for drugs. It was a young drug addict. You know, so it was, this has been well known. I was surprised when he was arrested, because I would have thought he would have gone down a long time ago.
So what happened in this story that you posted that's very interesting is while they were searching his home, the coppers were searching Dr. Julio Diaz's home, they discovered marijuana and an unregistered revolver in his son's bedroom. So, and we're talking about a few smokes here. It was 3/4 of a pound of pot stored in mason jars, which officers value about $4,000, an unspecified quantity of hash. In addition, Texas also located Smith & Wesson 38 with 77 rounds of ammunition, over $1,000 cash.
And the young man didn't have a job.
The young man, well, his dad does well. So maybe that was it. So his bail was set at $150,000.
And look at the smile on his face, though.
I know this is not this is not what he's being arrested, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's his arrest photo.
That it is?
He looked thrilled. I love to look at arrest photos because some people just look awful.
Speaking of which, like if we look at the Morro Bay woman who beat her mom, you know, now there's somebody that doesn't look too happy about the world right there.
She does look scary.
She does look scary, and probably was scary to her mom. Anyway, so we should mention this story. She was allegedly in her sleeping mother's home and wailed on her at 3 o'clock in the morning. Luckily, some neighbors heard the screaming and yelling for help, and were able to, and the police were able to intervene. Anyway, so she's been arrested now for felony elder abuse, domestic violence, battery, and a violation of a court order. You know, there certainly is... I don't know why it affects me so, especially with elder people. Elder abuse of any kind I find repugnant, just like I find child abuse repugnant. And Kelly Gearhart and that whole crew, you know, the things that they did taking those people's money, you know, again, it's elderly people, and it just wipes them out.
Kelly Gearhart I find much more egregious than this woman that beat up her mother because of the... the number of people I have talked to people. For example, I spoke to a woman, and her 80-some-year-old husband was washing dishes at a restaurant. Went back to work. He was an artist, and his hands shake too much to be a sculptor anymore. So after retiring and doing that, now he's washing dishes. There was another man that was a barber in Paso Robles, and he had never taken a vacation. He didn't buy a cup of coffee. He was tight as a tick because he was going to retire and play. And he put all his money with them, and now he said, I'll work till I die. I'll never have anything. You hear this story after story. They've lost their home. They've had to move in with their kids. They don't have enough money for food. I mean, it's disgusting.
Well, it takes me back to when Charles Keating was released from prison, and it was a head shaker to me. It's like, this man has ruined hundreds of people's lives. You know what? Just sit in the can for the rest of yours. That's all. I mean, it's just repulsive. It is. It's appalling when people do these things. It's just this craziness stuff. All right. What else is going on, kid?
Oh, we have Paul Brown's gun.
Paul Brown's gun. Now, Paul Brown, who a former city councilman and former owner of Mother's Tavern, and then he, I don't know, did he go down to Hancock to become a cop, or how did he do that?
No, he was a reserve officer. I think he's already got a degree. He was a reserve officer at... Guadalupe for a year or two, and he was doing that for quite some time. When he was running for mayor, he was a reserve officer in Guadalupe. And following that, he ended up getting a job with Morro Bay Police Department. And what he did was he had...
he was a reserve cop in Guadalupe. It's kind of like being a fireman on an iceberg. You know what I mean? Okay, well, in case anything ever happens, we'll let you know. All right, go ahead.
But he... he did that. He pulled Lisa Solomon, the chief, up in Paso, but Lisa didn't report her gun missing, and her gun was not registered at all. But he had two guns, one loaded, one semi-automatic loaded. I think it was one. It had I think, 14 or 16 rounds and one in the chamber. And then he also had a 45 that wasn't loaded but had the bullets next to it in the console of his car. And according to law, you can't leave a loaded gun inside a car. You can put a gun in your trunk, but not in a school zone. And he's in a school zone. He's between C.L. Smith and the junior high school there. And so he, you know, required not to, but he didn't lock his car, which Lisa Solomon didn't either, and had the two guns in there. Well, somebody grabbed them. But where he did do a better job, though, he woke up in the morning, saw the gun missing, and immediately called the police and reported the two guns missing. And when they asked him about the serial numbers, he didn't have serial numbers on the one because it wasn't registered to him. Now, he's saying it was registered to his father, which I'm going to do some checking on that. But still, his father died 2 years ago.
Well, here's the weird thing, though. I mean, obviously, the reason that people are going, say what, is he's, I mean, when he had to call the police, he could have called himself and reported it to himself. But now here's the thing.
No, it's slow. He's got to report to slow PD.
But here's where, it's just as, I guess people just go, you know, the guy's a cop, and how can you be a cop and not lock your car, number one, and have guns in it, number
two? Well, Lisa Solomon, hers was sitting on the seat. She didn't even have hers in the glove box, and she's got, I think at the time, had a four-year-old in her house, pulled in her driveway and left the gun on the seat and went inside without locking the door. And there are laws, if you're a parent, about not keeping a loaded gun around your children.
Yeah.
And this, we're not talking their duty weapons. We're talking their personal, private weapon stash. And hers was not registered. Now, his, he had one that wasn't registered to him. And by law, you have to, you know, if somebody dies, it has to be transferred registration within 30 days. But I've heard this is a common problem. You know, that a lot of people, oh, my dad died, I've got his gun, and they don't realize. You know,
well, you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, unless you all of a sudden do something really bonehead, like leave your car unlocked and have somebody steal your guns, chances are people are never going to know you have the darn gun anyway. So I don't think it's not a matter of not knowing. I think it's a matter that they just don't care. They're complacent and say, well, I'm not going to really worry about the law because it's not that big a deal.
But, you know, the one that... leaving a loaded gun, though, in your car, if a kid broke into your car and has got those two guns at their house, that's dangerous. If a criminal broke into your car and now has got two guns and ammo, that's dangerous. So no matter how you look at this...
I'm worried about Paul Brown having the two guns and ammo. tell you the truth. But okay, we'll go from there. But anyway, that was, yeah. And so apparently you said a lot of people were interested in that story. You got a lot of hits
and
on
you,
it.
I'm not always the best judge of what stories are going to be big. I worked on that Pippin story. There was a lot of research and a lot of work and dozens of hours. The KCOY story, I spent about 20 minutes throwing that thing together. And they've had similar hits. The Paul Brown story was massively popular. And, you know, it was not a long-term investigation by any means. I found out about it, checked it out, called Paul, you know, and discussed it with him and put out the story.
Do you want to let's see, holy cow, it's already 10 up. Do you want to comment on, we had an opinion piece by Julie Tacker, the well-known sword nut. Is that what she calls herself?
Yes.
Yeah, sword nut. Yeah, okay. So anyway, so any comment on her opinion piece?
Well, you know, it's...
It had to do with, you know, they negotiated this money, this loan and everything, and they negotiated 2% interest. And so her question was, why didn't they negotiate 0% interest? So my question would be, can they negotiate a loan at 0% interest?
She seems to say they can, and I have noticed there's some, you know, some complacency with government in our area. And this the sewer thing, you just have so much anger on both sides. You have the people that just want it built, and I'm not as good on that. But I think questioning government. She's very good at questioning government. She's very good at sending out public records requests and getting information. And I will give her that. She's uncovered a number of things through her public records requests that she has shared with me that have absolutely proved to be true. But she is getting beat up a little bit in this blog.
Well, here's the interesting thing, too. I have a friend who I had lunch with yesterday who's on the board out there in Los Osos. And so this came up. It started to come up, and I said, I'm like everybody else in San Luis, but I don't want to hear it. He said, I understand, you know. He doesn't talk about it much at all. He knows that people are saturated by what's happened with the Los Osos sewer thing. Now, out of respect to you, I read the article, you know, to make sure I knew what's going on. But I get to the point, too. I get to where it's like, okay, what else could you possibly say about this crazy sewer? you know.
And if anyone here would like to send an opinion piece, we are always looking for opinion pieces from the public, especially on issues that are relevant to our communities.
Sure.
You know, whatever side you're on, we'd love to hear it. For example, I think I have a couple coming in now regarding the Cambria school superintendent, which an odd thing about that story is, what has it been, 2 weeks since we wrote the story? Dan wrote the story?
About his wife?
Yeah, yeah. About the both the husband, you know, him hiring his wife, him
right,
hiring
right.
his father, the Pedro Garcia story.
Right.
And I think the Tribune's done two or three stories on it. They wrote an opinion piece regarding the opinion piece. They had an opinion piece in their paper that appears to be from someone that doesn't exist. So they've done a couple editorials on what happened there, trying to explain that, yes, we do have this requirement, and somehow this one fell through. But the interesting thing on this one, it's getting about 500 visits a day. It's off the main page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still getting about 500 hits a day. A lot of people are checking that every day to see what people are saying. It's, again, I'm not. It's hard to decide what people care about, and they care about that one.
Here's another interesting thing. You know, this isn't like a kind of a new. This is an investigative story, so it's not something you really look into that much. But one of the things that is going on in the news, and I thought was rather interesting, was the fact that with the redistricting that's been done, Sam Blakeslee's basically saying, you know what, it's not worth the time, and certainly not the money and the energy if I have so few Republicans in my district that it's unachievable to get elected or reelected. Why bother? And I have to tell you the truth. I admire that. I admire the fact that he's doing that. I think that, you know, I mean, how many people, all they care about in the whole wide world is spending the last year, whatever their term is, to run for the next term.
Well, the other thing is, I've spoken to people. He told his staff probably 6 months ago. Didn't the one main staffer go to work for the chamber 3 months ago?
Mm, yeah.
So he gave them a big heads up. You know, if you needed another job, get one. So I think that also shows ethics and morals. When you're telling your people, hey, I'm not going to make it to the next term, and, you know, allowing them to go apply for jobs in this kind of economy, I do respect that. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That's an honorable thing.
And Dave Conwell wrote an opinion piece a while back and said, would you come and be mayor? Fine. I don't disagree. I like Sam Blakeslee. I think he's an honest man. And how many politicians do we ascribe to that? And I think that he's well thought out. He's not a get in line guy and say yes with the Republicans. Matter of fact, he's a little bit of a conundrum to the Republicans, I think.
Yes, he absolutely is.
But that's okay. He so reminds me of, and I said this on the air the other day, is Leon Panetta. When Leon Panetta was here for us, that it was the same thing. He went by what he thought was right and wrong, you know, and he was I always admired the man for it.
Probably a year ago, I pick up my phone one morning, and it's probably about 8 o'clock, and it's Sam Blakeslee himself going, I really like that story. What can we do to help it? I'm really glad you wrote this story. I've been working on this, and I've had complaints. It had to do with barbershops. They had a new investigator here that was running around giving really high fines, $4,000 fines to beauty shops that had cleared $12,000 the year before. And without giving warnings, and they'd had this new person, she put probably four or five out of business, and he had sent a letter complaining about it and had done some things, and then I'd had some people come to me and I'd done a story about it. And, you know, he's gotten hold of me a couple times, and he told me, I read it every morning, and I care, it's very important to me what's going on in the community. So he is a hands-on politician. He isn't just sitting there. You know what I mean? He's hands-on, and he's hands-on, you know, barbershops. I mean,
And I need to say this, too, because people might say, well, Bill, he's helped raise money for the Vets Express, you know, and he puts on a special event, at the park once a year.
Yeah.
And they have a Veteran of the Year. It has nothing. My opinion of Sam Blakeslee has nothing to do with that whatsoever. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It has nothing to do with it. Leon Panetta, when he was here, we had a really weird situation. I've said it before, but real quick. At that time, the FCC was saying that you have to hire more minorities, and, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you don't have a percentage of minorities working at your radio station that is the same as in the community, then you're not going to get a license renewal. So that's really, and they were not kidding. So luckily we pretty much did. But the thing was, as though that here was the thing that happened. They said so. They came right out and said, if you have this percentage of Hispanics in your community, you the next people you hire have got to be Hispanic. Doesn't matter if they're qualified. It doesn't make a hoot. You have to hire them if they come in. If you advertise a job and they come in, you have to hire them. Okay, I said, that, you know, if we have to pay for the sins of other people before us, you know, because they didn't hire women, they didn't hire minorities, and okay, so we're going to take the beating for it. Which I think the males of the baby boomer males have probably been beaten over the head by enough things that people did wrong before. So this was just another one. But the thing that they did, though, they made you fill out a form when you interviewed somebody, and you had to put down their race. You had to guess what their race was. That's the other thing that was kind of weird, you know. They had about 93 categories, from Hawaiian Islanders to all kinds of things. And it's like, how in the hell do I know? So I'd say, excuse me, I am supposed to guess at this. Can you tell me, or do you want me to guess? You know, and most of everybody say, oh, I'll have to go ahead and tell you. It's like, cheese them. So anyway, but the worst part is that you had to say... And you had to say it. You had to say, this person is not the most qualified person, even if they were 10 times more qualified than the person you're going to end up hiring. So I went to Leon Panetta's office and said, you know, the FCC is telling me that I have to commit perjury here. I have to lie. And I said, and I have to not only do it on a form, I have to sign the form. And I said, that doesn't seem right to me. And bless his heart, I mean, within 2 weeks, that was not part of the requirement anymore.
Oh, very good.
I mean, he just jumped on that and really helped out with that. But, you know, again, I didn't like Leon Panetta specifically because of that. I just thought that he was well thought out, like I do Sam Blake's.
Yeah.
That he takes a stand and says, okay, this is where I believe in what I'm doing. So that's pretty cool. Well, we got lots of things going on. I'm getting a kind of a kick out of this, what's going on in Pismo Beach, in the letter to the editor today. And what they're saying is okay, they're talking about building 300 homes over by Price Canyon.
Yeah.
We are now in the process of building in San Luis Obispo, in two locations, 1,750 homes. That's between the Orchid Plan and the Margarita, the Airport Margarita District. So that's 750 about, and the other one's going to be 1,000 homes. So the 300 homes, I'm having a hard time feeling sorry for people are going to get 300 homes. We're going to get 1,700. It's like, okay, you know, guess what? Everybody's sharing the pain, and 300 is not much pain compared to what they're doing elsewhere.
And Pismo is probably the most successful city in the, you know, it's the most financially successful city in the county.
You said that, and that's cool. Now, if we got things breaking next week, you'll be in to say hi.
Yes, and I'm hoping to have
on.
A couple interesting stories. There's two or three we're working on. They're just... there's a wild, wild, wild police story. I don't know if it'll be on next week or the week after. It's going to be one of the most salacious stories Cal Coast News has ever written. More, it's not as big an investigation as it's just going to people are going to go, oh my.
All right, and you'll put on the website that you'll be in.
And I'll call you.
Okay. All right, CalCoastNews.com, 24/7, right there with all the news that's fit to print. And the stuff that nobody else is
bothering
with.
And then there's one of our local cities, several employees might be under a criminal investigation I've been hearing quite a bit about. And
All right. Hopefully
we'll have some out early next week and also come in and talk about it.
All right, Karen. Thanks for your visit today. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
I'm Jim Taylor.
Fighting piracy, helping Iranians, all in a day's work for the U.S. Navy in the Persian Gulf.
We fundamentally recaptured the ship and took the pirates into custody and returned the ship to Iranian control.
Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey to CBS's Bob Schieffer. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland says it didn't matter their nationalities. The fishermen were rescued because they were in distress.
It was obviously a humanitarian gesture on the part of the
The crew of the Stennis?
There's been no direct contact with the Iranian government since the rescue. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
Practically on the eve of the New Hampshire Republican primary, some candidates like Ron Paul crisscrossing the state. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnato in New Hampshire.
Just off a turnpike marked with homemade signs saying Ron Paul Revolution, the Texas congressman told this enthusiastic crowd of supporters momentum is building. Despite taking time off the campaign trail after the Iowa caucuses, he has remained stable or even gained strength in polls in this state. Paul is a strong, dedicated grassroots organization with a proven record of getting supporters out to vote. Volunteers will be fanning out all weekend here while he campaigns and participates in two debates.
Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, John Huntsman also maintaining a high profile in New Hampshire. Mitt Romney and Rick Perry concentrating on South Carolina, the next primary state. 200,000 jobs created, unemployment dipping to 8.5%. The president's reaction?
We're not going to let up. Not until everybody who wants to find a good job can find one.
If you work for the federal government, it's been a while since a raise, right? CBS's Sam Litzinger.
An Obama administration official says the White House wants to give civilian federal workers a pay raise of 0.5% in its 2013 budget. That may not sound like much, but if Congress approves it, it would be the first pay increase for them since President Obama ordered a two-year freeze on their salaries back in 2010. It's not clear some in Congress are in the mood to increase pay even by 0.5%.
Due to rising costs and low enrollments, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia plans to close dozens of schools.
In the city that gave birth to Catholic education across America, four high schools and 44 elementary schools are recommended for closure come June, in the wake of a 30% drop in enrollment over the last decade. School and church leaders were briefed on the recommendations, which follow a year of independent study. Among those at the briefing, Father John Maloney, who spoke of the mood inside the 90-minute session.
Very respectful toward the opinions of the commission, so it's a very respectful and peaceful discussion.
The final decision rests with newly installed Archbishop Charles Chaput, who's expected to approve them. David Madden, CBS News, Philadelphia.
It's like putting a red cap on the Empire State Building. That's New York Archbishop Dolan's reaction to being named a cardinal, along with 21 others, including former Baltimore Archbishop Edwin O'Brien. Cecil Pond hated mowing the lawn, so he invented this, the riding lawnmower. Cecil Pond has died at the age of 87. It's a wrap on the first week of the year on Wall Street. The Dow drops 55 points. This is CBS News.
Do you have an old 401k from a previous employer? You know, a 401k that's been sitting there and doing nothing for you? Did you know that you can roll over those assets into a physical gold IRA without being taxed? If you have an old 401k that's been underperforming, consider converting into actual physical gold or silver. American Bullion specializes in rolling over old 401k assets into safe and secure gold IRAs using physical gold and silver. Gold is the safe haven that today's investors are depending on for wealth protection. Trust American Bullion's expertise and let them handle the entire rollover process for you, tax-free and hassle-free. Call today and ask for a free copy of their gold IRA rollover guide that's packed with information. Call 800-479-2177. 800-479-2177. Call now to find out the benefits of converting your old 401k into a stack of gold. Call 800-479-2177. 800-479-2177 or go to AmericanBullion.com.
It's like a new way to wage war.
Israel fears that it is under cyber attack after a hacker claiming to be a 19-year-old Saudi posted thousands of Israeli credit card numbers and personal information online. The hacker says his aim is to harm Israel. Israeli officials described the attack as cyber terror, and commentators suggested that the hacker could be retaliating for suspected Israeli cyber attacks on Iran. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
It just looks like something's wrong with this picture. The big semi-truck half-submerged in the middle of an ice-covered pond happened in Monticello, Minnesota. Patrol Lieutenant Eric Reske.
Luckily for the driver, he was able to crawl out of the cab of the truck, and the ice was about several inches thick right there, so he's able to walk off the ice to safety.
The truck's out the way it went in. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Make saving more at Rite Aid your best resolution yet. Now through January 28th, you can earn a $20 plus up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Start the year off with better savings at Rite Aid. Resolution Rewards is another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase when qualifying threshold is met. Plus up expires February 11th, 2012.
My wireless internet bill was really adding up. So to save some money, I just used my neighbor's unpassword-protected Wi-Fi for free.
It's unpassword-protected because the signal doesn't go outside of the house. Now get off my couch.
Not to mention, I recharge my laptop for free.
Mm-hmm, not free.
And while I wait for all my downloads, they really need more bandwidth. I just grab a soda. Not much of a diet fan, but beggars can't be choosers.
You're not begging, you're just choosing.
Neighbors are great.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open, ultra-high-field scanner in the world, and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
For your soul, it's for your soul. And because Jim D couldn't be here, you're with Bill Benica, Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, you're in the station. And so I'm going to tell you what's going on at the Palm Theater, okay? Because they got the one that ended, The Way Ended, and the new one ended is La Havre, which is supposed to be very, very, very good. And The Descendants, of course, George Clooney's just knocking them dead with that one. And it's on two screens there. So this, you know, you got the weekend here, weekends here, matinees and whatnot. Go to the Palm Theater. Here was another thing that's kind of interesting right here. I thought this is and this Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy looks like it's going to be a good movie. And Gary Oldman's in it, and Gary Oldman's done so many things and done them so well. And then he's had our love of spy films is no secret. So here's some of the spy films they mentioned. All right, let's talk about some of the spy films they mentioned. We got the new Tom Cruise movie is going on. The 39 Steps from 1935, arguably the seminal spy film, okay? Notorious, 1946, Hitchcock's best spy thriller, The Manchurian Candidate, wonderfully entertaining red paranoia film. From Russia with Love, 1963, the best early Sean Connery James Bond spy story. Spy came in from the cold, grim view of the dark side of espionage. The Ipcress File in 1965. The Bourne Identity, a hipper, younger challenge to the Bond films. Casino Royale 2006, a triumphant return to Bond's more plausible roots. The Good Shepherd 2006, and then Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. A somber chess game to find a traitor. Now, can I say, really, if you'll forgive me here, 10 great spy films? Well, those are 10 great spy films, but in my film, the Bourne movies, each one got better. You know, the Bourne Identity was, maybe it's because you were able to figure out more what was going on, because that was the whole thing, he lost his memory, but I thought they were all three excellently done. I'm sorry, I'm done. Okay. How did the movies do in 2011? I don't know. Let's find out. Despite several movies topping $1 billion box office receipts, it wasn't a banner year. Breakout champagne, best save for next year. According to calculations, ticket sales were $10.215 billion from January 1st to December 31st, said Paul somebody. President of Hollywood's .com's box office division. That's about 3.36% revenue drop from 2010's $10.57 billion. We had the biggest opening weekend of all time in 2011 with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, but that same year saw the lowest attendance in more than a decade. That's because the middle-of-the-line films were not performing. The big blockbusters were dropping off pretty heavy in the second, third, and fourth weeks. Still three movies, the most ever, Potter, Transformer, Dark Side of the Moon, and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, took in $1 billion plus worldwide. Even though the critics don't really particularly care that much about Potter, the Dark Side of the Moon they didn't care for at all, and Pirates of the Caribbean they never liked. So maybe you shouldn't read critiques on movies and stuff. And I don't seem to know what they're talking about.
They never have.
I took the Wii ones to see Harry Potter 2 there, and I think I just took Casey. Anyway, yeah, that's right. I think Helen was too young. But I took Casey. But anyway, the theater, and that's after it had been out for a while, and the theater was packed. The place was just packed.
Kids love that. All right, let's talk about Spencer's Fresh Markets, because this is the kind of stuff that I like. It's called food. I like it. Three-day only sale starting today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Two for a bone, crisp lettuce, solid heads of lettuce, and get yourself some ice if you want it. I know there's no nutrition in that an iceberg lettuce, but it's so tasty. It's just so darn tasty. All right. $1.99 for whole boneless pork loin, lean and tender. This is a Prairie Fresh job, and they I don't know what they do with their pork, but they do something right because it's very good. Two for $5, a 12-pound plus CRV, 12-pack of Shasta sodas and selected varieties in 12-ounce cans. $14.99 plus CRV, rolling rock, 30-pack of beer, 12-ounce cans. Did you ever notice something on the nutrition label of the soda soda can? All the soda cans are 12 ounces, are they not? Are they not pretty much? Okay, they're 12 ounces. But what they show you, the total calories and all that kind of stuff, they show you the calories on a serving, the serving is always 8 ounces. So I kind of weird to me. But okay, let's move on, Bill. Spencer's Choice Boneless New York Steaks, $6.99 a pound and $1.99 for fresh pork spare ribs. Once again, Prairie Fresh. You're going to like them. You're going to love them. You're going to really enjoy them. $1.99 a pound for a 4-pound bag of navel oranges and $2.99 each for a jumbo pineapple. Big old honking pineapple. We eat a lot of pineapple. I don't know. Nancy knows how to cut them, I guess. Anyhow, so other thing, they got all the stuff. Now, tonight's the Cotton Bowl. Am I right? Is the Cotton Bowl? So you might want to say, I'm going to get to Spencer's and get some stuff for the Cotton Bowl. And don't forget, they got the chippies, they got the dippies, they got all that kind of stuff, you know, pretzels, puffs, name it. They got it to sit down and watch a ball game. And but you should be eating your dinner because it's going to be, you know, 5:30. But here's the thing. Then we got the wild card games all weekend, and so you got four wild card games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. So I'd go to Spencer's. I get a deli tray or something, you know, something good like that. Some creamy macaroni and potato salad, just $1.29 a pound. Macaroni and cheese is just $2.99 a pound. They just have everything you need at Spencer's Fresh Market, and they're just nicest people in the whole world. And John, you know, I see John on TV, and John is the nicest man in the world. And he, when you see him in person, and he has a better smile. For some reason, on TV, I think he gets a little bit nervous, but when he smiles, you know, a real genuine smile that he has, which is very nice. You could ask Beatrice, his wife. He's a good guy. All right. Let's go to Spencer's Fresh Markets in 5 locations. They're in Tascadero, Morbay, Rio Grande, San Maria, and San Luis. Okay. The good people. This is a great story, by the way, today, about the U.S. Navy saving these Iranians. Yeah, the Iranians go, neener, neener. They're giving us crap. U.S. sailors from a carrier strike group whose recent presence in the Persian Gulf drew the ire of Iranian military officials have rescued 13 of the Middle Eastern country's sailors from a hijacked fishing boat, a military spokesman said today. Destroyer USS Kidd came to the aid of this ship Thursday in the North Arabian Sea near the crucial Strait of Hormuz, according to the Navy. Rescue prompted the captain and freed ship to offer sincere gratitude, according to Guy, and he was afraid that without our help, they could have been there for months. Rescue Thursday came 2 days after Iran said the United States should not send any more warships into the Persian Gulf. I bet they're glad that one. I'm glad they sent that one right there. Okay. You're welcome. Even though they have not said thank you at all. But it's just terrible. Fine, be that way. Okay. And then I have here, I have the ridiculous. This is Anderson Cooper talking about the weevils. I'm sure I know what the weevils are, but there we go. Maybe. See if Anderson was talking.
Time now for the ridiculous, and tonight, once again, I have to add myself, because I admit it, I may be too much of a curmudgeon to fully appreciate the latest high-tech gizmo that we used in our coverage of the Iowa caucuses last night. In case you missed it, Wolf Blitzer was explaining how the caucuses work, and there was a high-tech visual aid that came into play. If only we had some new high-tech thing that had never been seen on television.
You think we should try to do something like that?
Oh, look at this, the weevils. Are they zapping them with a laser?
Yeah, they have a telephone. They can make a call and give the results of that caucus. And you know what? It's pretty cool.
By the way, if you miss any of this, you can see it on The Daily Show later with Jon Stewart. When he ruthlessly mocks you. So it's been since pointed out to me that they don't really look like weevils. Weevils have the signature rounded base that allow for the wobbling but prevents the falling down. They actually look more like another classic toy, the Fisher-Price Little People. I stand corrected. I'm still going to call them weevils, though, because that's what I called them last night. So the first caucus goers to show up, we're calling them the early birds, appear, and they look oddly like weevils. They wobble, but they don't fall down. Now, Sam Feist, who's our CNN's Washington bureau chief, I guess you could say the weevils were sort of his idea, his baby. Here's what he said today.
It always takes Anderson a little bit of extra time to just catch up with the times and understand when a good thing is a good thing or a smart thing is a smart thing.
Smart thing. That's like a smartphone, right? All right, listen, fine. Maybe I'm not on the cutting edge of all the new gadgets that all the kids are using. Which reminds me, has anyone seen my Commodore VIC-20 so I can type out a telegram I'm thinking of sending to Sam Feist?
In the 2008 elections, we actually wanted to use fresh ideas, new technology, to try and explain to our viewers what was going on in the election. And Anderson was opposed to it. He poo-pooed it. He blocked it. So this isn't a surprise.
The 2008 election. Let me see. I have no idea what he might be referring to. We're joined now via hologram by Will I Am, who is live in Grant Park. Let's see if we can beam him in now.
All this technology, I'm being beamed to you like it's Star Wars and stuff.
See, I totally rolled with the whole hologram thing, even though it wasn't really a hologram. And even last night, I was quite honored to find out that I had my very own Weevil.
And you know who else is just arriving right now with all of these nice people on the table over here?
I do not know.
Take a look. Let's take a look over there.
Look.
There he is.
Oh, I have my own little
Weevil. And I like the tie. Nice
the tie.
Very
nice.
Very handsome. Nice.
Wow. Okay.
Gray hair. Nice, beautiful blue eyes.
I've got a Weevil. Here's Morgan. No Weevil. Our Washington bureau chief has a theory about my Weevil. Take a look.
You know what I think the real problem was? Anderson wasn't happy with the Weevil who played Anderson. He wasn't in good enough shape. His eyes weren't as blue as Anderson likes to think his eyes are. There were some issues there.
My eyes are pretty darn blue. On that note, if you need me, I guess I'll just be over here playing Pong and listening to my Victrola on The Ridiculous.
There you go. Playing Pong and listening to Victrola. I still call an icebox. Poor Nancy, she rolls her eyes at me and is like, what are you nuts? What are you going to do? And the kids are away. All right, let me look at headlines here real quick and see if we need to catch up on any of these things. Oh, there was a bad thing happened. Oh, here it was here. This was in Australia, I believe. Go ahead and click on it here and tell you. Just that when you click on something here, it takes a while. 11 killed in a hot air balloon crash. This was in New Zealand tomorrow morning, which quoted local reports of the crash, which happened nearly 90 kilometers northeast of Wellington, were first reported shortly after 7:30 a.m. A witness said the balloon was in flames and descended, according to Radio New Zealand. So I've always thought, it's strange enough to go up in the air. You know what I mean? In any kind of a craft whatsoever. But when you have to depend on a flame, a hot flame inside of a flammable enclosure, that's always so weird to me. But then, what do I know about? All right, so there you go. So that's what happened there. So that's a tragedy. And then let me see what else I got here. Let me see what else is happening. All right, so I can tell you. Two trains in an accident in northwest Indiana. As you may have heard, the jobs report came out, and 200,000 more people had found work, which is better than they expected, so that was kind of nice. Joran Vandersloot's Peru trial has been delayed. He was going to just plead guilty, and then he decided they had so many conditions that were going to add so many more years. If you're in a Peruvian jail, prison, I think, I don't think you're going to last anyway, but he's hoping to. And so they postponed his trial until he decides what he wants to do. The deported teen on her way back to the U.S. was sent to the Philippines. Now, she just ran away from home, and they let her get on a plane and all that. And so her parents are all mad because they let her go. She's a runaway. They let her get on the thing. Syria vows to strike back with an iron fist. That's going so well there. High-fat foods may scar your brain, along with all the other stuff that you've been doing that scars your brain. All right? And then, anything else? That's it. Okay, there was one other thing I wanted to... Oh, here was a story I wanted to share with you. This is just a story, and I don't see it here. Maybe... Oh, here it is right here. I'll do it here.
You know the old thing about a woman scorned? Yeah, you don't want to have anything to do with that? Okay, Tiger. Let me tell you how this is going for you right there. Tiger Woods' ex shows us just how rich and mad she is. She purchased a $12 million mansion last year and had it torn down. It's an oceanfront mansion she purchased last year. The home was chock full of amenities, 17,000 square feet, 8 bathrooms, pool, elevator. So why'd she do it? Crouching Tiger, hidden meaning. The divorced mother of two young children simply wanted something bigger and better, a dream mansion, according to the Palm Beach Post. It was a beautiful place, incredible landscaping, fantastic ocean frontage, realtor said. I heard that the original plan was to renovate, but once they started, I heard they decided to tear it down. Okay, don't worry, worries. It was not in the home when the wrecking ball came crashing down. The world's former number one golfer was probably somewhere around the Jupiter, Florida state, though. Nordegren, who has been known to wreck some stuff, like the Tiger's car and whatnot. And then she's has hired a high-priced architect who will be acquiring all works and signed confidentiality agreements. The whole thing. This is what the rich people do, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that was an expensive divorce for the Tiger. Okay. Right. And this was, they found some really weird stuff down there in, under the ice, as it were. Expedition reports never before seen a deep sea life. They discovered an octopus that's an albino octopus, and they're just hanging around out there in the bottom. And so the researchers sent a robotic vehicle to deep frigid depths in their search for a new species. What they found was a thriving ecosystem that built around the thermal vents, which can reach 719 degrees Fahrenheit. The expedition's lead researcher says the first survey of these particular vents in the Southern Ocean near Antarctica have revealed a hot, dark, lost world in which the whole communities of previously unknown marine organisms thrived. According to a summary from the University of Oxford, which participated in the study, those vents create a unique environment lacking sunlight, but rich in certain chemicals. So that's why the creatures are all so pale, and yet they're alive. So this is a funny-looking octopus. But these animals, I should think about this. Think about the animal things that have resulted in cures to diseases and whatnot. I think they should snatch some of these guys up and start seeing if they can find cures to stuff.
Are you looking for quality fabrics at great prices? Then look no further than Betty's Fabrics during their semi-annual 20% off sale. Betty only does the sale 2 times a year, and it's your opportunity to save. Now through January 10th, you can pick from hundreds of fabrics for that special piece. Just perfect for your next project. With 20% off, you can get the best selection of fabric on sale. Betty's Fabric, 1625 South Broadway, Santa Maria, and 1229 Carmel Street in San Luis Obispo.
Like reggae music? So do we. Hurry up yourself and link up with the like-minded reggae heads here on the Central Coast. To join the iPower Sounds Reggae Mobile Fan Club and get a free reggae CD, text the word reggae to 68255. That's the word reggae to 68255. iPowerSound.com, where the Central Coast goes for their reggae music.
Keep your eyes on the road. You really should not be texting while you're driving. Oh my God! Help!
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's Wireless Companies, and the National Safety Council.
All children should be raised in healthy and nurturing homes, free from abuse and neglect. There are many ways you can help. Support community activities and public policies that prioritize prevention. Get to know the children in your life and know how to connect families to resources available in your community. For information, referrals, and answers to parenting questions, contact the Kansas Children's Service League Parent Helpline at 800-332-6378 or visit us online, kcsl.org.
I was sure
Down, Sweet Talk. That's Electric Light Orchestra. All right, let's see. Was that? Oh, that was, yeah, that was from Out of the Blue. And that album, double album, it took 2,000 hours to edit. They used two symphony orchestras and they had a choir of 30 people. I happen to be an ELO fan, so I just knew that. So that's it. That's, I don't think I know about anything that has to do with music. All right, other things that are going on in our world, and you're Bill Beckett, Talk is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network, right here at 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, and this is Friday, and holidays are over. I'll be here Monday. And don't forget, this is a leap year. Oh, I threw that in. I just haven't remembered that, so I thought I'd tell you. All right, other things are going on here. They're Norman Wineries is changing things up. Norman Vineyards in Paso Robles, you know, they got people retiring, people sticking around. And here's the guy that's on, and the son's there. He's on TV all the time saying, come on, what does he say? He says something. He says, come up here and have some wine. All right, other things are going on. Now, this is an interesting idea here. A 130-space project 2 miles north of Paso would include pools, clubhouse, and a market. This is an RV resort that might go into a former eatery spot. The former Almond Blossom restaurant, a lot, 2 miles north of Paso Robles on Highway 101. I don't know this place at all. Is this the place that used to be at one time as you were heading out and head north? Was at the, it was like a doll museum. Is that the same place? Did that become the Apple Blossom restaurant? I missed it. Anyway. Maybe. Anyway, so they're going to put an RV place in. Yeah, hey, that thing's going on. Okay. And once again, the Pusmo Beach is not, the water's not so good. The water's pooey. And so you might want to consider, you know, not necessarily going in the water right there because it's not. It happens, I tell you. It happens. Other things are going on locally. Governor promised he'll get money to county jails. See, we took everybody out of prison, out of the prisons. We took the money. We took all the prisoners out of the prisons. We put them into the county jails. And so now, of course, they we have. How are you going to do that? And so he says, well, I'll get you some money. I'm going to have to print it, I guess. Because we don't have any. We don't have any stuff. All right, we don't have any of that stuff. But here's two headlines here, and then you can read the articles and just say, okay, I'll decide. Santorum, a worthy challenger, and will Mitt the moderate please stand? So we're betting the whole thing. And then this was kind of cute. They have Mitt Romney pointing to the headline. It says, Romney takes Iowa by 8 votes, and he's yelling mandate. Okay. All right. Speaking of Paul Brown, the Tribune did it too. Gun? What gun? And then first we had, you know, Paul Brown. Then, of course, there's this other guy, the state assemblyman Tom Donnelly, a staunch gun rights advocate who represents the Inland Empire. Donnelly tried to board a plane in Ontario, California Wednesday with a loaded pistol in his carry-on bag. He, oops, said he forgot it was there. I completely forgot it was in my briefcase, he told reporters, about as heavy as it is when you carry a laptop. So I just didn't register to me. So they say, and I agree with them, if you have an extra pair of socks or, you know, you have an extra set of drawers or something, you might say, so, okay, I didn't notice that. But you forgot you had a loaded gun in your briefcase? Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's all you have to say to that. Right there. Other people in the news. So here's another person who has this idea. Doug says, simply buy the peak. There's a simple solution for those who would determine how a Cerrito Peak should be developed. Buy it. For those who think Mr. Riddell should be able to, within reasonable limits, to develop his own property. Today may be Mr. Riddell's problem, but please be aware that tomorrow it may be your property that others want to control. Yeah, that's right. These homeowner associations are going to eat you up. Spit you out. I hope she's okay. I never met her. And I'll tell you, this shows you, you know, you say, Bill, in your homeowners association, were you really always involved in the meetings and everything? No. And there's only so much boredom a man can take. I
I can't do that. So I never went, but Vera Gladstone is the lady that crashed in the McDonald's the other day, and I don't know how she came out of that with big problems, because she flipped the car, the whole thing. Anyway, so she, Vera was as the secretary. She took the minutes and all that stuff, so I hope Vera's okay. I could have met her, but I just never went to one of the meetings. Okay. Richard from San Luis Obispo says, the homeless in San Luis Obispo must envy the lucky Portland who can land a spot at Dignity Village. It's hard not to see a parallel between Dignity Village and Dan Duvall, except Dan does it alone with government interference and Dignity Village has government help. Imagine if our county had embraced Dan Duvall's efforts instead of attempting to vilify and destroy him and San Luis Obispo's version of Dignity Village. In Portland, the city built wood shacks for the homeless, and San Luis Obispo only tear them down with telling the homeless go eat cake. And the other thing, too, that's interesting, I have to tell you, it's sad. That's not just interesting, it's sad. I turned from South Higuera onto Prado Road to get on the freeway yesterday, and the number of homeless that are living in trailers, cars, et cetera, on Prado Road now is really remarkable. There's always been places where there was small groups of people, you know, the Industrial Way. Let me think of some other place I see. Let's see what street. Bridge Street, where the charter is. There's always been a few people on there. But anyway, but now it's just huge. Excuse me. They're huge. I'm trying to swallow. Well, this was an interesting thought here. And this was from Alan in the task there. So the reason both the federal and state governments have been talking about raising taxes on the rich. Democrats say this is an issue of fairness, but Republicans say it will impede job creation. Here's how to make it work. Raise taxes, but make the 100% of those extra taxes subject to offsets based on gifts to charitable organizations. If Democrats object to this plan, then it will be obvious that fairness is not in the issue. They just want a larger role for government. If Republicans object, it will be obvious that job creation is not that issue. They just want to protect the income of rich people. Nonprofit charitable organizations are much more efficient in the use of money than the federal government is. Let's encourage people to support them to solve the many ills that present ourselves in today's society, including education and social work. So there you go. Give your money to the Boy Scouts or whatever. I think that we have sort of debunked. I would imagine that we have not sort of. We have totally debunked the idea that personal income to someone who is very wealthy has nothing to do with creating wealth or jobs. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Because personal income is separate from, you know, a profit. Because some people have made huge personal incomes and not succeeded in making a profit. all right, let's get rid of that idea. I love this from Barbara. I have to admit, I really like it. She says, the Tribune is correct in warning donors about the percentage of income some nonprofits use to promote their organizations. An area like the Central Coast, that fear is minimal, but calls for support from national organizations can inspire increased donations to expertise hired public relations firms. Locally, one national organization is unique. Toys for Tots collected and distributed through local social services nearly 50,000 toys from Paso to Lompoc this year for close to 20,000 kids. All the money donated stays here, and we spend it for toy purchases to augment the collection for age groups in need. So let me throw this number out at you. Tell me another organization that can claim this. There's more to celebrate. For every dollar donated to Toys for Tots, less than 2 cents is spent on getting the job done. Woo-hoo. Wow. Penny wrote this, and it would have more impact if more people voted, but anyway,
In this country, we are so lucky about, and above all, privileged to have the right to vote. It makes our country strong and great. We need to show an ID to vote to make sure there isn't any funny acorn business going on or dead people voting. We need an ID to buy many products, drive a car, and the greatest privilege is voting for our country. Why someone wouldn't want to verify a person's ID doesn't make sense. But here's the point, though. Here's the thing. That when we have as little as 35% of people turn out for some elections. All this wonderful right that people love. You know, I love the fact that we have a right to vote. Do you vote? No. I sure love the fact that I could if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I didn't go to homeowners association meetings because I didn't want to. I do vote, but I didn't want to go to homeowners association meetings. I didn't want to. Hey, what else is going on in the news here? Oh, GM is, this is a really weird sort of thing. Politics. The Chevy Volt has some problems, and that is that they can catch fire if there's an accident that damages the battery, and then the fire can occur a few days later. So now here's the thing. They're not recalling the car. Here's what they're letting happen to the car. This is, has to be really amazing here. They believe it was caused by coolant leaking from damaged plastic casings around the batteries after side impact collisions. So they're going to add some more steel and all that and all that kind of stuff. So you can get free repairs and all that. And then here's the thing. GM had a huge incentive to fix the problem and protect the Volt's image. Although the car isn't a big seller, it's fallen short of sales goals. It burnishes GM's image as a greener, more innovative car maker. The safety stumble could make it even harder for Chevy Volts to compete with rival electric cars like the Leaf and like the Leaf to contain as the bad publicity after fires. GM last year offered to buy back Volts from worried owners. Adding the steel will spread the force of a crash over a large area. And so they said the test worked. But they didn't do a recall. They did a safety update, they called this, a safety update. And every other car company in the world, but here's what we're telling you right here, is GM 26.5% is still owned by the government. General Motors. So that's maybe an indication of why they didn't call it safety recall. But here's the part I love the most. I mean, talk about weird statements. Mark Roos, GM's North American president, said of this fix on a problem with the Volt, we have made the Volt even safer. Newspeak, I think they call it, 1984. We have made the Volt even safer by not having it catch fire and burn you while you're driving down the road. So, yeah, you have to love that. Okay, I love it. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. All right, I have another story here I want to share. And this is, and people have tried all kinds of different things, and none of them ever seem to get away with it, but they keep trying.
I-5 traffic can be a pain.
It's a heck of a commute.
Brian Stein drives 45 miles each day one way and says he was stuck admiring drivers in the HOV lane.
How freely it flows. And
Diamond lane. Diamond. Yeah.
So one day,
I thought blew up doll. I thought mannequin.
All right, Johnny boy. Up you go.
He found a friend.
Bucky's for safety.
To share the daily commute.
You're looking good, buddy. Gunned it over to the furthest lane. It's the only time I can really open this bad boy up.
His bare-bone plan worked without a hitch until December 20th. That's when a state trooper pulled over Stein on I-5 near Kent and spotted the passenger.
Are you kidding me? And I said, yes, officer. No, officer, I'm not kidding you. He pretty much told me, well, congratulations. Now you're going to get your picture taken. It sounds like I'm going downtown to get my mugshot. He comes back with the camera and takes a picture of John Doe. And
the trooper did not laugh and wrote Stein a ticket for $454 for aggressive driving and his special friend.
Well, the officer pretty much gave me a learning.
And as a result, Stein says the skeleton,
looking good,
will remain in the closet.
Cute. So that's what he did. He used a skeleton with a hoodie on, and that's how he's doing the carpooling.
It is weird when you go to L.A. I mean, admit it. It's weird when you go to L.A. and you realize how many single people there are in cars. You know, here you don't notice it the same way, but it's rather startling when you see how few people are actually using a carpool lane because, you know, they got more people in the car. Kind of unusual. Anyway. I have to commute. I'm not sure my commute. It's a back-breaking toll taking 3 or 4 miles. I'm getting tired of it, too. All right. Other things going on in the world. Other things happen in our news. This leaner military that the president's talking about, I'm just wondering if it's exactly the right time. I understand we're pulling out of Iraq and eventually out of Afghanistan, like hopefully by week's end, next week. But anyway, all right, now here's the thing here. Here, let's do some of these weird stories. 80 years after their departure, depression or robbery and murder spree captivated the country, Bonnie and Clyde continue to fascinate crime and history buffs. At least that's the hope of a Missouri family selling a pair of rare weapons believed to have been seized from the couple's Joplin hideout in 1933. Weapons are owned by the great-great-grandchildren of a Tulsa, Oklahoma police detective who had given them by a police officer involved in the April 13, 1933 raid. The 45 caliber fully automatic Thompson submachine gun, better known as a Tommy gun, and an 1897 Winchester 12-gauge shotgun has spent the past 40 years stored at the Springfield Police Museum. So they're hoping that somebody wants to buy those. I don't know. The only way you can own a Tommy gun is if it's inoperable. You know, at that point, is it any fun? A Tommy gun would be fun. I mean, yeah. If you, but you can't have one. A rare first edition of John James Audubon's sumptuous illustrated The Birds of America, depicting more than 400 life-size North American species in four monumental volumes, is going on the auction block for an estimated $7 to $10 million. Now, this is really weird, because every time they say that, you know, the things sell for twice that. And it's like, maybe they just say that to lure people in. I'm not sure. Considered a masterpiece of ornithology art, as you can imagine, the 3.5-foot-tall books featured hand-colored prints of all the species known to Audubon in early 19th-century America. Audubon insisted on the book's large format, printed on the largest handmade sheets available at the time, because of his desire to portray the birds in their actual size and natural habitat. The set will be auctioned by Christie's on January 20th. Pretty cool. Okay. Other thing. Oh, Etta James is home from the hospital. So we'll see. She was removed from a breathing machine. She has become receiving mostly at-home care, so that's good news right there. Ryan Neal's son, who's a nitwit. He's kind of like he's a nitwit. Like, what's the name of the other guy? Douglas. He has nothing but grief with his son. Anyway, so he got into some problems right there. I got somebody on the horn. Let me see if I got time to answer. Hello?
Hey, Billy Boy. How you doing?
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, about the Audubon book.
Yeah.
It's always cracked me up because when I was doing art history, you learned about Audubon and some of the other people. And, of course, he was like Michelangelo and some of those that the way that they were so skillful at some of the drawings and stuff and paintings is by killing the animal and then, you know, setting it up the way that they wanted it to be and then doing the painting and so forth.
That's a funny story. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the great lover of birds croaked quite a few of them to be able to get them the way that he wanted and everything. So
now, when they say this, when they say a rare first edition, so this is like, so the first printing of this book, is that what they're saying?
Right, but the way that the original Audubons were done is, as you kind of skipped over it, but they weren't exactly lithographs. They were printed like in black, and then an artist actually painted the colors in and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so these were all hand-done. So these are, you know, really exclusive. And there were some, there were a lot of books that were done that way in the 1700s, 1800s, you know, things along that line that were considered even back then as lifetime treasures.
Well, so let me ask you a question. I mean, how many editions were, in the first edition, how many copies would there be, would you guess?
Oh, I would guess originally there was probably a couple of thousand, something along that
and
line.
And these were all hand-painted.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't done by one person. It was done by several. But if they had one that actually, Audubon actually did part of the work in it, then that would make it the ridiculous amounts that they're talking about.
Well, that's just amazing stuff to me. I'll tell you, that's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's some, every once in a while, the thing on KCET, where the people go and try to find out what something's valued at.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
You'll find a printing, and the printing is hand-colored afterwards, because the coloring process was so crude back then that it was actually easier and better to have art. What they were considered art students, even though these were people that were in the business for, 10, 15 years to do the coloring on it.
Now, let me ask you a question. But when Audubon did his first copy, did he do it in black and white and then color it in, or did he do it in color?
He did it in color, and then they took the color and made black and white and then added the color to it because they had to have a reference.
Yeah, cool. Oh, that's cool. I think that's a fascinating story. Thanks for sharing it, Mikey.
No problem, guys.
Have a big, wonderful weekend for yourself.
You too. I'm trying to stay out of trouble this time, huh?
How many days do I have? 2 days off? It won't happen.
Not enough to get in trouble. Yeah, the kids will help you out.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, yeah. What a wonderful world. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll get together again here on Monday at 12 noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. We'll be right back.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Rescue.